Scripture reading today comes from Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament. It's Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 830. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight and behold is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of God.
The act of God in the passage that Kim just read is an act of promising a messenger that will proclaim the arrival of God's very person. This action that Kim shared with us in Malachi, from our point of view, was taken a few centuries prior to the birth of Christ. Now, we rightly understand that this passage refers to John the Baptist and Jesus, who are the fulfillment of this promise. What's not so clear about this passage is whether this act of God, recorded centuries before the birth of Christ and fulfilled in the birth of Christ, means anything at all to us in the present moment. I mean, why read this passage and why talk about the past while we're preparing for the near future and all the celebrations that go along with the nativity of Jesus? However, if we perceive this action from God's point of view, who is eternal, we may begin to understand that what God does, what God says, what God intends is not bound by time, but is filling all of eternity and always fulfilling this promise. For what God does within time, God does for all eternity. All of God's actions are in force. God is the creator, God who's the judge, God who gives the law, God who sends the prophets, God who sends the Christ, God who raises the Christ, God who accepts the risen Christ as ascended, God who sends the Spirit. These are the things that God does, not just in time, but eternally. And this is important because, as David Steinmetz says, it is only as we regain our identity from the past can we be faithful in our mission in the present. Basically, what he is saying is, beware of forgetting where you came from. That's why we remember December 7th. It's why we remember September 11th. It's why we remember the Nativity of Jesus, because it tells us about who we are now and who God is now. So what is this identity from the past? Our communion liturgy sets it right out for us, right in the first part of the prayer. It says that we are created by God, destined for peace and glory and joy in God. It says that we were disobedient to God's command and so became destined to death and destruction and corruption. It reminds us that we are not able, even despite God's goodwill toward us in sending the law, we are not able to overcome our miserable and dismal destiny. And yet, it reminds us that God loves us and God sends the prophet to give us hope and promise. And then we sing, "Holy, holy, God Almighty, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But there's more. For as God acts through John and in Jesus, as God still acts in judgment and love, he still does that now. He is active now. And he's telling us that even now, we are all those things as God is all those things. That we are not just in theory, creatures of God, sinners, and still loved by God. He is telling us that we are in reality, real creatures, real sinners, really destined for death, really aware of our limitations, and really aware of our inability to save ourselves from death and destruction. I have at home a vice. A vice is something that holds something firmly in order to cut, shape, or do something to it. Now, if you take a vice and you do it too tight, you will probably end up at least marking the piece that you have put in there and maybe damaging it and crushing it. If you do it too little, then you're in danger of it moving while you cut it or work on it, and therefore making a mistake. We are in one of those places. We don't want to admit our limitations and our destiny in death, and we want to have relief of those things from God. But somehow, we don't quite know how the two shall come together in a way that we can understand, live, and move forward. I mean, after all, didn't we at some time in our past accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Isn't all this stuff just a bunch of pessimistic talk? But let me ask you a question in response to that question. Is your life as it is now today perfect and pure and complete, an example of what it means to be in union with Jesus Christ? Do you today exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit as they're offered in Paul's letter to the Galatians? Do your words, your thoughts, your actions spill over into the world around you with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Do any of us dare to stand before God and in all of our honesty and in all the reality of God's presence, say to God, "I am sufficient as I am now. Take me as I am because I am perfect." None of us have that much gall. None of us can do that. We wouldn't even claim that to each other. Most of us know better. Indeed, we do not have to look too far into our minds, into our hearts, into our recent past, to know that we have come to the limits of what we can do and who we can be. That so often we get quickly to the place where we cannot love, we do not have peace, we are not going to suffer any longer, we are not gentle, we are not good, we are not faithful, we're certainly not meek, and we're not restrained in temperance. We, like the people whom Malachi speak to, know what it means to live a desolate life with no spiritual fruit. If we were honest and looked around in our lives, we would see that we are as far as the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit, somewhat barren and unproductive, at least as far as God's concerned. For a people like us, just like a people like the people Malachi spoke to, do we dare hope that in this Jesus and his birth, it might have an answer? Is this merely a thing of the past? Could it be that God did in Jesus precisely what God proposes to do now? If God's assessment of our lives and our miserable need and our destiny is true today, as it was centuries ago, then it only stands to reason what God has promised then and offered then, God offers and promises now. So, in the poverty of our spirit and in the barrenness of our lives, God sends the Spirit to rebirth in us the life we so desperately need and so desperately want. We hear the prophet's call to repentance, and our heart and mind turn to God. We hear the angel's promise to Mary, and we remember that that is also God's promise to us, that God is willing to born anew by the power of the Spirit within us his life and love. We, like an expectant mother, contend with care this seed of God's Spirit, and allow that life to blossom and grow in us, so that at the opportune time, bursting forth in new life, we are changed forever by the power of God's Spirit. Indeed, we become as God intends us to be, full of his love, his character, full of his power. So, friends, whatever your approach to these holidays are, make sure that it includes time to remember not just the joy and warmth of a Christmas past, but the eternal acts of God in creating us, loving us even in disobedience, and saving us from a destiny worse than death. We are wise and intelligent enough to know that the birth of Jesus is not just a one-time event, but a repeated blessing that God gives whenever we remember what God has done. Faith today for you and I is choosing to live by God's promise, God's words, and God's actions, both past, present, and future, rather than by our own imagination, wit, and strength. So embrace your identity as God has stated it, and receive once again the power of God's Spirit to change our lives, to overcome the insurmountable obstacles, and to bring new life to the most desperate situations we know. For what God has done, God still does for any and all who will open themselves to God's Spirit. Let us pray.